Good morning to you all. Welcome to those who are here to worship with us, and welcome to those who are joining us on the live stream. We pray that whether you're watching that now or later, the next hour or so will enable you to worship God and draw closer to Him. And we... Hello. It works. All is well. We do have a few notices, being proper and Anglican. And the first one is that afternoon tea this afternoon is cancelled at Chris and Ali Mesley's. But there is good news. There is an open garden at Anne and Malcolm Garner's. If you don't know Anne and Malcolm, they are our treasurer and accountant at the food bank and have been working solidly for the food bank for, I don't know, since we all started. But they have a magnificent garden. And I know some of the people who've made the cakes for the open garden. So panic not, you can still have a good cup of tea and a really good cake. Anne and Malcolm, you drive down to the traffic lights at the showground, turn right, keep going till you get to the crossroads, and then turn right to go towards Welland. And as you go up the hill, you go through the 30-mile-an-hour sign and get to the next sign at the top of that little hill, which is a school sign. And if you turn right at that school sign, there is a little unmade track that leads off the road. And if you drive up there carefully so as not to damage the springs on your car, it's all signposted, I expect, by now, and they're off on the left. But it is a garden well worth seeing, and magnificent cakes and tea. So you've still got something to do this afternoon. Go to the open garden and support that particular National Garden Scheme charity. And having had your cup of tea and nice cakes this afternoon, if you are of a certain gender, next Saturday morning, men's breakfast at Wetherspoons. All are welcome. And now, a little video.
Hi everyone, I'm up here at All Saints to let you know about our big summer Cayley. It's happening here at All Saints on Friday, the 21st of July at 7 p.m. The event is completely free and we have a great band coming along and a caller to lead the dancing so everyone can join in. If you'd like to come along, sign up at the back of church or on the mailing. So whether you're 9 or 99, bring a bottle and some snacks and grab your dancing shoes and come along for an evening of fun, fellowship and dancing.
So now you know. Summer Cayley coming up towards the end of July. And we have some bands to read. So, I publish the Bands of Marriage between Jack William Pullin and Rihanna Elizabeth Longstaff, both of this parish. If any of you know any reason why they cannot be married, you are to tell us. And this is for the third time of asking, so this is your last chance. Let's pray for Jack and Rihanna. Lord of love, we pray for Jack and Rihanna. Be with them in all their preparations and on their wedding day. Give them your love in their hearts and throughout their married lives together. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We're continuing our series working through Paul's letter to the Colossians, and today we're focusing on having Christ-centered relationships. So we pray together. All Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouth shall proclaim your praise. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. If we're able, let's stand and sing. Would you like to be seated as we continue to recognize that we have a God of grace and a God who rescues us from all the things that go wrong within us. And here is the special collect, the prayer set for today, which seemed to me to be a good starting point for Christ-centered relationships. Almighty God, you have broken the tyranny of sin and have sent the Spirit of your Son into our hearts, whereby we call you Father. Give us grace to dedicate our freedom to your service, that we and all creation may be brought to the glorious liberty of the children of God through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And although the tyranny of sin has been broken, we know that each one of us fail in so many ways over and over again. And yet God continues to love us. He still calls us to be his children. And so we come before him and call him Father. And we confess the things that we have done wrong, the things that we have said wrong, and the things we failed to do and say. As we say together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, slow to anger and forgiving all who are truly sorry, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, confirm and strengthen us in all goodness, and keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So, Jean is going to come and read part of Colossians to us. The words will also be on the screen.
Starting at Colossians 3 on page 1184 in the Church Bibles. So it's 1184. Wives, submit to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favour, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. And from Colossians 4, Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Let us pray together. Lord, may the words of my mouth, however fallible, the thoughts of our hearts, however fallible, be unto you cleansed and open to what your Spirit will say. In the name of Christ our God. Amen. There was a cartoonist years ago, and some of you remember, and I've been trying to remember, Scoop is somebody. Anybody coming up with it? I can see the cartoon now, and this particular one, which said, "I love humanity. It's people I find difficult." And I've just always remembered that. And St. Paul was somebody like our Lord. He loved humanity. You know, God in Christ reconciling the world to himself, but he loved people. And as we come to Colossians, it's people that are so at the forefront of Paul as he's writing. I was reading this last week, the end of Romans, and I think, is it 15 or 16, he mentions 30 people whom he sends greetings to. He's never been to Rome, and he sends greetings to 30 and to others, house groups and other ways through them. It's amazing the way that in that early church there was this network of people. And you see here in Paul is writing from prison in Rome. And do you remember who brought the message? Anybody remember who brought the message from Rome to Colossae? Other than Peter and other than... You're nearly there. Tychicus is your man. Without Tychicus, we wouldn't have Colossians. And without Timothy, we wouldn't have Colossians. Colossians 1:1, Paul writing with my brother Timothy. It's the epistle of Paul and Timothy. And Timothy, of course, was a much younger man. He was really the convert of Paul, or more or less. But Paul here, round about AD 60, calls him my brother. Isn't that wonderful? Paul and Timothy. And Tychicus has arrived. He's come from Paul in prison, where he was originally in Colossae in the middle of Turkey. He'd gone to Rome. He was in prison with Paul. And now Paul says, Tychicus, go to those people in Colossae. I've never met them, but I know them. I feel for them. And I have a message from God for them. And so Tychicus has his scroll, and he has another one, actually, which is for Onesimus. And it's only one chapter. Is it just before to the Hebrews, I think, somewhere about there in the New Testament? Very difficult to find. It's only one chapter. But this is for Onesimus. This is for Philemon, brought by Onesimus, who's come with Tychicus. Onesimus had run away from Colossae in the middle of Turkey, gone to Rome, been with Paul, looking after him in prison. They must have had a system whereby you could do that. And now he's coming back with Onesimus. So Onesimus isn't here today because he still hasn't got really want to meet with Philemon. And because he ran away from Philemon. Philemon's here. Read that wonderful one chapter of Philemon. And it's a wonderful one to get the feel of that early Christian congregation in Colossae. And there's Archippus is there at the end of Colossians. Archippus, you've got a ministry to fulfill. You fill it. And Nympha is there. She's got a house church. But Nympha's come because gradually... We're just reading through these precious words from St. Paul, probably written in Greek, so I've got them all in Greek here if anyone wants to check up what he's really saying. But most would have spoken Greek, from what I understand. There's the ancient Phrygian language, a lot would have spoken in Colossae, and a lot would understand Latin as well. But this would have been in Greek, which was the kind of language that united most people at that time. So here is this amazing letter, and I've been given the short story, actually, because I think this is a very difficult one to speak about. Last week it was all about a wonderful passage, if you remember, ordinary people. These are ordinary people sitting in the congregation, like you and me, and yet, as someone said, God does extraordinary things through ordinary people. people like us. Remember last week, those wonderful words when Diana led us, put on new clothes, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And we had to write out, if you remember, and I wrote out patience as being one which I found sometimes quite difficult, not least patience with myself. And two or three others found that as well, which is wonderful. But this was the way that the letter came to us last week. Ordinary people, God doing extraordinary things. And this week, in the sort of four sets of people that we're looking at, and it's Christ-centered, so I've really got, I hope, online. Andy is so clever, he assures me he can get this online. It's just two points, really, this morning. Christ at the centre of relationships, and the other. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Sorry, can you see? There we are. And to love your neighbour as yourself. That is the heart of our faith. This is what, again and again, St. Paul is bringing us back to the centre and to the heart of our faith. So let's start off with these Christ-centered relationships, because there are there are three sets of people here. There's wives and husbands. Wives, be subject. Husbands, love your wife. And you need to read this with Ephesians 5:22. So my suggestion is, later in the day, if you feel able to, or in the week, go to Ephesians 5:22, and it's all about mutual submission. Now here, it is wives, be submissive. But you look at Ephesians 5:22, Paul begins talking to wives and husbands and slaves and children, but says, be submissive to one another. So it all begins with mutual submission, including marriage, including slavery, including parents and children. Submission to one another. Then out of that, and in particular circumstance, maybe here in Colossae, there was a call for wives to be submissive to their husbands. But who would not be submissive to a husband? If you come back to Ephesians 5 again, where it says, husbands, Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another in reverence for Christ. That's the one we've just mentioned. And then, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I mean, if Christ loved me enough to give himself for it, this is the love for me to give to my spouse. And then he goes on to say, love your spouse not just as Christ has loved you, but also because you actually love yourself. As you love your own body, you care for your own body. Love your wife as your own body. Love your wife as you love yourself. Four times in Ephesians 5, Paul is saying this about this relationship of a husband and wife. And if that's how you're loving your wife, any men who are here, gosh, your wife would want to submit to that kind of love. And that's lovely. I've got one or two lovely wives here, just you know. We all fall short. Of course we fall short. But this is a wonderful way of just looking again at one's relationships and saying, Lord, where do I need to come to be more centered on your will, to be more Christ-centered in my relationship, a husband and wife? Children, obey in the Lord. Christ at the centre. Parents, don't embitter your children. Don't embitter them. They need encouragement. Encouragement, gosh. That's, again, oh Lord, I failed here and there, but oh, what an important thing encouragement. And masters, you've got to somehow, with your slaves, you've got to treat them fairly. Don't get disconnected from them. And slaves, and four times it talks about when you're serving others, you're serving Christ. And what we have here is this amazing double act of duties and rights in a relationship. Each has a duty, each has a right, and both are equally important. And one very good commentator on this passage says, this is the outstanding Christian innovation, which no one else at the time, whatever religion, in a multi-religious context in the Roman Empire, no other religion had this understanding of mutual submission and of duties and rights. That phrase which Palestinians use, that one of their leaders, Elias Shakur, he says, as a Palestinian, he says, we also have rights. And that little word also means it's mutual. We have rights as Palestinians with the Jews. This is the same with relationships. We also have rights. You fight for your right because you have a mutual need for your rights, as well as recognizing you have your duties. And yet, you know, particularly when we come to this one on slaves, okay, in a sense that's not me or us, but there's a lot of slavery, as we know, going on in the UK in all kinds of different ways. But you know, I also find I can have this mentality in me, that a sense of wanting to control somebody, and it happens terribly in the church, I'm afraid, that you want somebody, you say, well, you know, you should be doing this, come to my meeting, come and do this, and I know how easy it is to do this. And you control people in a very subtle way. And actually, this slave concept has to be, we have to release people. And pastors and leaders, we have to release people. I found as I was pastor at the last church I was at, I would never ever ask anybody to come to church. That is enslaving them. In fact, I released some of them, some of the leaders, saying, have a break from church. You need it. It's not an easy thing to do, but we have to learn. I have so much to learn continually on this, of releasing, not holding control over other people, keeping Christ at the center. You know, one of the things that, out of that terrible murder a few days ago in Nottingham, of those two students, the other man, and it's been right across the national press, and the mother of one of those students, the way she stood up and with tears from her murdered child, she said, do not hate, but be kind one to another. What a message. That's the Christian message. When your child's been murdered in such a horrendous way, don't hate, be kind. And I put here, Peter's done this so beautifully, these wonderful words, which I was at a monastery, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, and one of the lovely things that is said when two people meet each other, they say, one says Christ is in our midst, and the other says he is and ever shall be. It goes right back to a liturgy, a communion in the 5th century of a man called St. John Chrysostom, and it's in there, and they use it now, 15 years later, when they meet each other. Christ is in our midst. The other says, he is and ever shall be. Let's just try that, because it's the most beautiful way of meeting with somebody. If I say, Christ is in our midst, and here's the cross, and you say, he is and ever shall be. Christ is in our midst.
He is and
now, will you start off that and then I will answer it? So you say, Christ is in our midst.
Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be. And that's such a wonderful way in which two people meet, or a congregation, and it's something which something which doesn't come naturally. It's something which I have to learn and learn and relearn, that Lord, you are in the midst. You are and you ever shall be, and you are the one who, in a sense, is at the heart, the Christ-centered relationship. Just pause for a moment, if you will. Just pause and think of somebody you actually would find that very difficult to say to. He or she may be a Christian, may not be. Maybe in your family, maybe very close to you. May just be somebody in church. Well, actually, I'll avoid him, I'll avoid her. I just don't see eye to eye, or she said something to me which was quite nasty, or we've just not really got a relationship. Lord, just help us to say to that person, Christ is in our midst. He is and ever shall be. Christ is in our midst. He is and ever shall be. Lord, give us grace to see you at the heart of every relationship we have. However hard, however much we fail, you in the midst. And then we just turn to the second part, which is this. It's the other. It's the other, of course, we've touched on it already. You can't talk about Christ-centered relationships without talking about the very people with whom one relates to. And here you see you've got wives and husbands. Wives, support your husbands. The other, support your husbands. Support, support, support. Husbands, you don't be harsh with your wife. Be kind. Be kind. And then we come... Yes, and I think it comes somewhere, this is how Peterson puts it, go all out for love for your wife. Don't take advantage of them. It's a beautiful translation of that, isn't it? Children, what's your parents' agenda? Get into it. Parents, don't be harsh. Don't crush. That's another translation. Don't crush your kids. Your grandchildren, don't crush, don't crush. Servants, do your best in your work. Masters, deal considerately. Your slave is a human person. Be fair. Be fair. And it's entering into the other world. I remember being at Missionary Training College years ago before going overseas, and the first 2 weeks... it was totally on entering another's world. How do we enter into another culture? How do we enter into other people's lives? And I think if we just go on, Peter, on the next one, here we are, beneath that, and the next one, I'll just come back to that bit in a moment. And these are words that have meant a lot to me over many years from one of the Wreath lectures, which happen annually, but this one was years ago. The hearer's place is the speaker's need. How do I enter into another world? I'm the hearer. The speaker has a need. My place is to enter into that need. It's profoundly challenging, because half the time we have our agendas to share. I come to church, I know what I want to say, I've got to say this to that person, this to that, I know, and I do it myself. And just to stop, and here's some wonderful words which I got from my good wife, actually. She's very good at this. How's the last week been for you? Or just, how's life? How's life? And you say that to somebody, and it will open them up. Two words, three or four years. How's the last week been for you? And that is entering. This is relationships, Christ-centered relationships, entering into another's world. And it gets us out of our own, because we're all so basically self-centered, if I'm honest. This is the human frailty. The hearer's place is the speaker's need. Someone was reminding me this last week of the five languages of love. One of them is importance of touch. Just a hand on the shoulder. Just a shaking of the hand. The importance of touch. A hug to the appropriate person. Another is affirmation by words. Some people just need words to affirm them. I'm that kind of person. Someone said to me beautifully something this last week in the chemist. I went home and told my wife, and I've just kept it all week. It was such an encouraging word. We need affirmation. Another one, I've got them written down here, and I don't want to get them wrong, is acts of service. Nothing pleases my wife more than when she comes back from heavy shopping at Lidl and I come out and help to empty the car. And sometimes I don't. I say, oh, I'm too busy. That's an act of service. How do you do an act of service? Some people will judge your love by that. I think the fourth one, which is in this wonderful book called The Five Languages of Love, it's the gifts. Some people just a gift, a small gift of some kind. And the final one is your time. It's giving time to people, stopping, giving time. And this is Christ-centered relationships. This is entering into another world. May we be given the strength and the patience and the humility and to be these kinds of people. And I just end up with St. Benedict in the 6th century. Benedictine communities, we've had them way back in the 10th, 11th century, right up to the dissolution of the monasteries in the 16th century, and Little Morven Priory. So Morven has this deep Benedictine history within it. And St. Benedict in the 6th century, he wrote a rule, and he said to his monks, he said, there is nothing more important than preferring nothing to Christ. Christ first. Prefer nothing to Christ. Then he said, and when strangers come, as they would often come to a monastery, he would say, treat each one as if they are Christ themselves, Christ himself. Isn't that amazing? This is Christ-centered relationships. This is entering into another world. You are to me as Christ. Prefer nothing to Christ. Christ comes first. So Lord, we just have a moment of prayer. Will you come back into the center of our relationships? Come back into my family, our families, that we prefer nothing, Lord, to you. You're truly the ultimate one we worship, but we honour you in each other. Come to our church family to honour you. Christ is in our midst. He is and ever shall be. And come, Lord, into the different relationships we have this coming week, meeting with the other, holding them in prayer, seeing you at the heart of every relationship. Christ, you, Lord Christ, at the centre. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, but to love the other as ourselves. Amen.
Thank you, Paul. You've certainly given us plenty to think about. So let there be love shared among us. We'll sing this one through twice and then go on to reminding ourselves that we have been given a new commandment. But first, let there be love.
Thank you. Let us pray. You just start by praying for our hurting world. And I'm going to mention some situations, but then leave a pause for you to think of specific places, perhaps add your specific prayers, and then I'll add a bit after that. Heavenly Father, we do pray for our hurting world. Father, we lift to you all who have little or no food. We are ashamed that this is not only in third world countries, but it's also here in our own country. We thank you for food banks, community fridges, but we also pray for ways to distribute resources more fairly. We pray for guidance for leaders, our government. Lord, there must be a way out of the situation we've got into, and we pray for your guidance and help. We pray too for all across the world who are suffering as the result of natural disasters, earthquakes, floods, volcanoes, crop failures. Lord, these items slip so quickly from the news and we forget about them. But the people there are still affected, still struggling to rebuild their lives. Lord, we can't imagine the devastation, the heartbreak of shattered lives and trying to rebuild them. We thank you for aid agencies and other volunteers. We pray for effective distribution of aid and food, but also the availability of materials for rebuilding. For resilience, we pray. For restoration. Heavenly Father, too, we pray for those who are living in the midst of war or in the fear of attack from rival groups. We pray for those who fled from the situation, especially when it means the family is separated. We remember especially those Ukrainians linked to our church and in local schools. Help them, Lord, as they learn the language and make friends here. And Father, we long for peace in Ukraine so that the families can be reunited. Lord, there are many other needs in our world, and we mention some of these in our hearts. Come, Lord Jesus, to our hurting world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we praise and thank you for the many church-run activities for primary-age children. And especially, Father, we give you thanks for last week's life path at the Priory. And we give thanks for all the children and the adults who came, for all the volunteers who gave their time to enable it to happen. And during the week, we were reminded of many memories of those now teenagers and adults who remember that experience. And we just pray that for this year's youngsters, that seeds will be planted, memories lasting, that they can remember the fun they had in a church and some of the message, Lord. We pray too for the next 3 weeks, for another activity called Seeds for Life, for another 6 classes, and also for exploring the Lord's Prayer activity within our parish schools. Lord, please bless and sustain all the volunteers, and give each one of them the words to speak to connect with these youngsters. We thank you for the opportunities, and we pray for seeds to be planted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now I'm going to use some phrases from the hymn we're going to sing at the end of the service, and to use that to lead into prayer based hopefully around what Paul's been saying. Let me be as Christ to you. Open our eyes, Lord, to see people and situations as you see them. Prompt us to act with love and compassion. Forgive us when we are self-centered, focused on our own needs, and missing the needs of others. Give us eyes, Lord, to see as you see, and hearts to respond. I will hold the Christ light for you in the nighttime of your fear. Lord Jesus, we pray for all we know who are unwell. We pray especially for Janet, giving thanks that she is gradually gaining back mobility. We pray for more progress for her and for easing of pain. And we pray for Shirley and for all her family. In their fear, Lord, draw near and comfort them, we pray. Sustain Shirley through the treatment and bless them as they have a few days away. And now we can lift in prayer others we know who are unwell or stressed or in difficult situations as we name them in our hearts. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. Father, we admit that we all have worries and struggles. And you, as our Father, Lord, you encourage us to bring these to you. Help us to do that. And make us perceptive to one another, willing to walk with them and help them to bear their load. And to, Father, give us grace to allow others to serve and help us. May we be as Christ to all we meet today, tomorrow, at work, in the home, as we are your body, your hands, your feet in this world. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We are the body of Christ. In the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes for peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. As we approach a time of sharing communion together, we remember just how deep the Father's love has been and is for us. Let's stand if we are able.
So much. Do please be seated. Just to say, at the end, Lois and Diana actually will be praying at the back. And if anybody, it may just be something's come up in this worship, and you just want prayer for something, you don't even have to name it, but whatever, do please take advantage of this prayer. And as we come with empty hands, don't we? Because we can't be Christ-centered. We can't put the other where the other should be, except through the broken body and blood of Jesus. So we come to receive his broken body and blood. This holds him at the center in our lives. This enables us to relate with the Lord himself as the one bonding us and holding us. And I think I should just have said, I'm sorry, one or two like to have gluten-free bread and non-alcoholic wine. So Suki and I will be offering this to you, so please just ask for that if you would like it. Or if you just prefer a blessing, we would love to bless you. I put on this lovely stole. It's from Peru, as a gift to us in this church, and just connecting us with all those places that Carol's led us in prayer as part of the worldwide church. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. And it might be helpful if you would like to stand, remain seated if you would prefer, but some might like to stand for this part of our worship. It is indeed right, it is our duty and our joy, always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord. This day we give you thanks because in fulfillment of your promises you pour out your Spirit upon us, filling us with your gifts, leading us into all truth, uniting peoples of many tongues in the confession of one faith. Holy Spirit gives us grace to call you Father, Abba, Father, to proclaim your gospel to all nations and to serve you as a royal priesthood. Therefore we join our voices with angels and with archangels and with all those in whom the Spirit dwells to proclaim the glory of your name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. So accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, and as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and of wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that he is betrayed, he took bread. He gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He gave you thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is given and shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Amen. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. And then together we say, Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise, and as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you, in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. So together we say these precious words our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. So we break this bread, the broken body of Jesus, taking into us our own broken bodies. And we say together, though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving.
Let's pray together. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we stand for our final hymn, and you already guessed what it was going to be. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Thank you. given us so many things. We offer you these small tokens of all your goodness to us, and we pray that they may be used to build your kingdom for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll say the first part of the blessing together to God and to one another. The Lord bless us and watch over us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious to us. The Lord look kindly on us and give us peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us always. Amen. And of course, as we come to the end of the service, there is prayer available at the back, there are drinks available at the front, and Diana at least is going to the open garden and the cake and tea this afternoon. So if you want to know more about that, ask me or Diana. And of course, for the week ahead, go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ. Amen.